Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. This is episode number 865, and it's called Catching Up with Amber and Paul, number 13. And I have just a couple of things I want to say at the beginning here before we get started, but I will keep this very brief. Okay. So first of all, this episode sees the very welcome return of my good friends Amber Minogue and Paul Taylor. Amber and Paul have been regular guests and very popular guests on this podcast since I first got to know them and invited them on the show about 10 years ago. So they've been regular guests over the last 10 years. For those people who don't know, Amber and Paul are both stand-up comedians, and that's how I know them. We all know each other from doing stand-up comedy in Paris in English. Now, Paul is definitely the most successful comedian of the three of us. In fact, he's a professional, full-time professional stand-up comedian. And he does his own one-man shows. When we recorded this, Paul was just on a break from a big world tour that he was doing, touring his latest one-man show, which was called Bisou Bye. It's a bilingual show in both French and English. You heard me talking about it in the last episode. So when we recorded this, Paul was on a break from that tour. So that's kind of gives you context. Paul talks about staying in hotel rooms and sleeping in his own bed for the first time and getting a bad neck because he's not used to it. So that's because he'd been on tour, touring around his comedy show. And also, I need to say that this episode, this conversation was recorded a couple of months ago, actually, in the autumn, all the way back in the autumn of 2023. So a couple of months ago. That's why we talk about, for example, the weather turning cold and some other things like that. You will also hear us talking about this big final show that Paul did at the Zenith. That's this big venue, this big concert venue in Paris. So Paul talks about the fact that he's going to do a show at the Zenith in front of about 4,000 or 5,000 people. And I tell you how to get tickets for that. But if you listen to the last episode, you will know that that show has already happened. Okay, that show took place on the 6th of January, which is now in the past. So I'm sorry if you watch this or listen to this and you think, oh, that would be fantastic, I'd love to get tickets to see that show, then unfortunately it's not possible unless you have a time machine. But yeah, so sorry about that. But to be fair, I did actually tell you about the show on this podcast in the introduction to episode 855 and a couple of other episodes. I did actually announce that the show was happening. So I did give you a warning to get tickets. But anyway, sorry if you wanted to get tickets and now you realize that time travel is just not possible. If I had a time machine, then I would let you use it because the show was great. And he invited me to perform, actually, and I did 10 minutes. You can listen to the last episode of this podcast to hear me talking about that. Okay, I think that's basically what I wanted to say, really. So now I'll stop this introduction and we'll just let the episode begin. So here is a sort of tangential conversation. That means a conversation that goes off in different directions, okay, which is typical about all sorts of things. Just enjoy another conversation with Amber and Paul. And so let's get started. And here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. Yes, you've seen from the title, it's actually happening. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Hello.
The jingle already happened?
No, we haven't done the jingle yet.
Okay.
I'm just going straight in. But okay. Do you want to do the jingle? We'll do the jingle. Oh, no, I have to do the jingle live, don't I?
Do you?
Well, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Put it in afterwards?
Do you not edit your things?
I do edit my things, but okay, I'll do the jingle. Well, no, then there needs to be a visual then with the jingle too, doesn't there?
Oh, you've got, yeah. All right, just do it live. Okay, what, do we just sit and watch, look at each other while the jingle happens?
I suppose so, yeah. I suppose so. All right, okay.
We can, like, newsreaders.
Yeah, exactly. Shuffling documents.
Shuffle the papers. They asked me to do that the other day at an interview. They're like, just so you know, at the end of the interview, we're going to keep rolling for a couple of minutes. And I was like, do you want us to do the news thing? He's like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, all right, cool.
Shuffle the news.
So when we finished, the interviewer, she just started talking to me and she, like, completely random question and nothing to do with anything as soon as we cut, because she thinks I'm incapable of, like, pretending to talk. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So they were like, okay, the interview's done, but keep going. And so she was like, so the weather's great today, isn't it? And I was like, what? Where's
you
that come from?
You can just do this. Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb. That's what they do on the news.
That is what they do.
Well, they say rhubarb.
Say the word rhubarb.
No.
Yeah, because if you say rhubarb without, you know, just moving your lips, rhubarb. It looks like you're rhubarb.
All right, well, let's play the jingle and let's mouth rhubarb.
Okay, we'll just go rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb while the jingle is playing. Here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
Okay, so the jingle has been done. We're in. Hello, Amber and Paul. How are you? How are you? I feel a little bit reluctant to just instantly ask you how you are, but I'm going to do it. How are you?
Because this will lead to 1 hour of conversation.
Absolutely. Possibly. It will just be us talking. He's like, I've got an intro to do.
I do have an intro to do. Anyway, Amber, how are you today?
I'm good.
Great. Paul?
I'm fine. I'm fine-tastic. Fine-tastic.
Fine-tastic.
Well, I'm not. I'm angry, as normal.
Really?
Yeah.
What was, because of the journey here?
I woke up with a creak in my neck, and as I was saying, it's our 15-year anniversary, and our babysitter pulled out tonight, so fucking hell.
I've got a babysitter. Is it the same?
It's the same one. She's got COVID.
What?
Yeah. How dare she have
Ask
COVID?
Sarah. She's got babysitters.
Yeah, but it's too late. It's tonight.
Never too late for someone who wants some money?
I don't know.
So Paul's in a mood because it's his 15-year wedding anniversary.
15-year
anniversary of being together with your significant other.
Yeah, and like I did a whole thing.
Anyway.
The one time I make any fucking effort to buy like a present, you know, last week I got a card. I wrote like I spent like a day thinking about what to write in the card. You know, 15 years is like a crystal anniversary for whatever. So I bought like a really nice bottle of champagne. Like I made an effort for once. Normally I'm just like, yeah, happy anniversary or whatever. And
happy anniversary, darling. There you go. There's a cup
and
of
I was
tea.
Like, I've got it's 15 years. I've got to make a bit of an effort. And we're like, oh, let's book the restaurant.
Paul, send her over to mine. Sleepover.
What? His wife?
Yeah. Send over your wife. She can stay with me. That's not. It's not even funny. No, of course, your little girl.
Yeah, but she's got some. Maybe I didn't even think about that.
You can always pick her up if you want to take her home at sleepy. Do you know what I mean? Pop her in the
car.
That
laugh made my head spin.
So you've also got a. We'll discuss this later on. I think the ins and outs of Paul's personal life. You also got a bad neck. Have you this morning?
Yeah.
You woke up with a creak in your neck.
Yeah, I'm so not used to sleeping in my house. This is the first night I've had in my house in 1 week because I've been on tour, and I think I'm not used to my own pillow anymore. And so I just woke up and my neck. And I had to cycle here because I knew the metro was going to be a nightmare because we now live next to each other.
Yeah. You raced each other, basically.
Yeah. And as you were sending the text messages, as I was looking at my watch, getting them, I'm like, yes, come on, I'm winning. And so cycling when you've got a bad neck, because you've got to look around all the time, it was really painful. Mm. So yeah, I'm not in a good mood.
He's been spoilt by hotel grade pillows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. None of this cheap 15-year-old.
You need to up your game.
Yeah.
IKEA, not good enough for
We've
you.
We just bought new pillows as well. And I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, okay. what a state to be in where your own bed is foreign to you, where you're like, I don't like this. I don't like my own bed. I'd rather sleep in a hotel room.
Yeah, but my bed is just, it's colonised. Honestly, I wake up in the morning and everyone's sleeping on my pillow. Like the cat sleeps on me. Oh. And like my daughter gets into bed, my son gets into bed. And I'm just like, guys! Get out of the bed! There's no space. Like, I'm crushed on all sides.
Oh, everyone wants to sleep with Amber.
Yeah.
Hey! There it is. it is.
I mean, you know, in the most wholesome way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's rushing to get to sleep with you, aren't they?
There we go.
He's done it again. That might come up again. That joke. We'll see.
It will.
Because you've been talking about it, Paul.
I talk about it every night on stage, basically.
We'll come back to that. So I've got some things to say at the beginning. Actually, okay. My first question is Paul, what's the situation? But I think we know what the situation is.
Well, the situation is that we are in the Podcastle. The best name for a podcast studio, I think, that ever exists.
Pod Palace, as Amber said before.
Pod Palace. But Podcastle works because it's like podcast.
Podcastle. Podcastle. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like a podcastle because we're high up.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a palace as well.
I like castle.
Podcastle is good.
Podcastle.
Because it's like podcast. Yeah.
Podcast.
And the weather is grey. It's not raining today, but it was yesterday. Mm. It's a little chilly.
It is.
Yes, it's gone chilly, hasn't it?
I mean, I was in Canada last week, so it's not chilly compared to there.
Right.
It's not chilly for my children. They rock up. Both of the teachers are like, your children do need to wear coats.
And I'm like, my children are British.
I'm like, they're English. They feel no cold. Honestly, like Margot, she's walking to school this morning. She's like, I'm hot. And I was like, no, you can't take off your coat. Not before school. I'm hot. And she like took off her coat and all the other kids got hats and scarves. And she's just like in a dress, like a short sleeve dress. I was like,
I got, my wife gave me hassle the other day because I dropped Louise off before I went on tour. So Addie had an appointment somewhere. So I was in charge of dressing my daughter in the morning.
Shorts and t-shirt. It's October. Yeah. But
flip-flops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun cream. sent her to school. And then my wife called me at like 5:32 because she gets picked up at 5:30. She's like, Paul, did you put a coat on? I can't find a coat. I'm like, yeah. I put a thing over the top. She's like, no, that's a rain... like stopper, a rain stopper, a windbreaker, whatever you call it.
Yeah. Mm.
Like just a...
Cagoule.
A kawe. I don't know what you call that in English.
Yeah, cagoule. Windbreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, the thing. Yeah. She's like, you didn't put an actual coat on her. I'm like, well, it wasn't that cold this morning. She's like, Paul. And we had this argument.
You nearly killed your daughter, basically. It's probably the crux
exactly,
of the argument.
Exactly. Yeah. And now she's sick. And just by coincidence, it's my fault.
Right. Of course it is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But she's English as well, so.
Yeah.
Got to build up that resistance to the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, the French kids at my daughter's school were all in hats and coats and gloves
late
August, you know. It's like... there's a sniff of autumn in the air and suddenly they're all pow in these like, you know, eiderdown flipping coats, you know.
One leaf drops and you're like, oh, here we go.
These are coats you use to go and explore the Arctic tundra, you know. And they're like kids walking around in Paris covered in these things.
Well, my son's teacher said that he was not going to be able to go out and play unless he came to school in a coat. And I was like... okay.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't feel cold. Anyway, so now I'm just like, look, you're taking a coat. You can take it off at school.
Yeah, same here. Now, guys, normally in these situations, I do prepare some questions, don't I? Or even some kind of theme, and then we just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because the conversation starts and then it's impossible to keep it under control like some kind of horse. Right, or a wild horse. It's off and you can't get it.
Sure.
So now, this summer, right, I went through my entire episode archive because I had to do some website admin.
Okay.
Right. I had to update every single embedded player, every single audio embedded player for every single episode.
What?
On every single website page for this podcast.
Why?
I took the entire month of, I took all of July and August off. I thought I'd be just having a lovely time looking after the baby, but I was looking after the baby and doing all this website stuff just because I moved audio host. I had to update all the audio players, right? So I went through every single page for every single episode of this podcast. I saw my life flashing before my eyes.
I bet you did.
I really did. And also, I saw you too, because you've been on this podcast quite a lot of times.
Yeah.
I don't know how many it is. It's got to be something like 50, 60 times.
No.
Seriously.
No.
Seriously, yeah. It's something in the region of that, okay?
Really? I mean, this is one of my favourite things to do.
Right.
This is why that you're like there's I've got back from tour. I'm going back on tour in a couple of days. I'm like, no, I want to do Luke's podcast.
Let's do this for 3 hours. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
it can't be 50.
I don't know. I haven't counted actually the number. This episode is going to be called Catching Up with Amber and Paul, and this is number 13 of these. This is Catching Up with Amber and Paul, number 13.
Oh my God.
Later on, we're planning to do the Lion Game. I hope we're going to have time, but that's going to be like Lion Game number 11 or something.
Really?
No, it's nine. It's number nine.
That's
number nine. And there's been plenty of other episodes
Luke
too.
Luke still hasn't told a lie.
Highlights, just a few highlights, yeah. If you remember, from the very first time you were both on, which I think was in like 2013 or 14. It was when you were about to give birth to your son, mm-hmm. and you came on at Christmas time. This is like ages
ago. Oh, not together, you mean?
No,
just
not
together. Individually.
But the first time you were on together was called Catching Up with Amber and Paul, and we were upstairs on the terrace of my old apartment, mm-hmm. getting sunburned, yeah. if you remember that.
I do.
There was then Paul not knowing any words or expressions in his first language.
Yeah.
English.
But that's every episode, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Basically.
Continued. You don't know your own language. There's obviously Amber's lovely voice, Paul's infectious laugh. Do you remember Paul's naive eyes? Do you remember the comment about Paul's naive eyes? Apparently you have naive eyes. I think it was naive.
Okay. No, I don't remember
innocent
that.
Eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
We did the bank robbery. We did the role-playing games, like the one with the robot teacher who, you know, this very prescient.
The burlap sack.
The burlap sack from the Victorian detective series, the philosophy quiz, Paul's sudden meteoric rise to success.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I wrote that, meteoric rise. Is that like a meteor? Because meteors
don't rise.
They go down.
I think it's the speed that meteors travel at. I think that's probably more where the phrase comes from.
We don't say meteoric fall, do we?
No.
It's always a meteoric rise, but meteors definitely don't rise.
No, that's true. Well, they don't really do anything. I mean,
they just fall to the ground.
Yeah, if you were to ask Neil deGrasse Tyson, he'd probably just be like, they float in something, you know, there is no direction.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be some... I love
space.
That guy. Yeah.
But a meteor is when an asteroid has entered the Earth's atmosphere, I believe.
But do we know the entomology of it?
Of meteor.
Yeah, I mean, is it just about that, or is it about just fast movement? And I don't know.
Meteor, I don't know either. Meteor. Anyway,
we see them falling, but maybe they're
from a different perspective.
Yeah,
they're rising.
We're on the ground and it's coming down towards us, but it because we're a globe,
yeah.
contrary to popular belief, then it might
heard about this, Aaron, but apparently the Earth is flat. Anyway.
The meteors might actually be coming. From this direction, coming down to up and hitting us because we're
in Australia.
Upside down.
In Australia, yeah.
Well, potentially.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, then.
So there was that. There was, you know, the philosophy quiz, the cultural stereotypes, the bad gig stories, talking all about sleeping for one episode randomly. Mm. Amber's son shitting under a table in a restaurant.
Yeah.
A total of four babies born. Plus
yeah.
five now with the new arrival in our family. Surviving lockdown with the kids. The lockdown happened.
I can't believe that the first one Hugo.
He hadn't been pregnant.
Wow.
Episode, I think it was about pregnancy, wasn't it?
It was about having a baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's right. That is insane, isn't it?
Visiting the Louvre and then...
Oh, yeah, we went to the Louvre.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And talking about going to the toilet for about 90 minutes. Most recently. But seriously though, right, it's been awesome. It's been awesome having you both on the podcast. You've brought a lot to the show, and I just wanted to express my gratitude for what you've brought to this podcast by offering you both a token of my appreciation. So I've got you both gifts somewhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was going to be a cup of tea.
There you go. Who'd like to do the honours and open the box?
Oh, it's in here.
Now,
on, Amber.
Audio listeners,
I'll hold your microphone if you
okay.
want.
Audio listeners, you can't actually see this, but I've presented Amber with a brown cardboard box, which she is opening in order to reveal the contents.
Ooh.
Two gifts.
Oh.
What are they? Can you explain?
This is exciting.
Oh, it is
I'm seeing
a cup of tea then, isn't it?
I am seeing some, you can hear it probably, some porcelain we've got here. Oh my gosh. Paul.
What?
It's not just any mug.
What?
These are custom made mugs.
Oh,
hold on.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Look at that.
We've got our pictures on it. Oh, from the olden days.
From the old days,
yes.
With me and my white shirt and black tie. Oh, look at that. That's us, the three of us on stage. Not together, but combined together. For those of you who are watching on YouTube,
oh, that's so
here
nice.
You go. Here's the mug, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. Let's bring that nice and close.
Did you not make that? Is that not one of the pictures of one of the episodes?
Amber and Paula on the podcast. Yes, this is an image that I made for one episode or two. And
wow.
I use that image a lot, but I...
He didn't call us to get a headshot, did he?
No.
He's like, I'll just take any old random pic. It makes it more authentic, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, if you just said, oh, I'm going to get a nice picture, make us, it would look, but this
you
is
look
so
good. You
this
look
looks
good
like
in the pictures, don't you?
A Facebook kind of, because sometimes I get those reminders on Facebook and it's like 9 years ago today and it's just us on stage all the time. It's just, that's the only thing that's on Facebook. It's just us lot.
Yeah.
But this is perfect with Paul in his white shirt. That's so... Thank you, Luke.
You're
that's
welcome.
So
You're welcome.
Thoughtful.
I went for the old school pictures because I just thought, you know, that's the sort of the vibe here. Is that, you know, just as a little reference to the good old days now, we could call them.
I'm touched. That's really sweet. I love that.
You're
that's
very
such
welcome,
a nice
of
gift.
Course.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
And we're almost the opposite because you're black and white. You've got the black and white, like, little French-made sort of... What do you call that?
It's a Peter Pan collar. Is the word you're looking for?
Okay, all right.
I didn't know that.
French maid.
I don't know. It looks like a French maid. You know, the little, you know, like in the restaurants.
I know what you mean,
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I will make you a cup of tea now. Paul arrived earlier on. He's like, can I have a cup of tea? And I was like, no.
He's like, I don't have enough mugs. I'll go and wash it.
No,
mug.
No, you won't.
He's like, no, don't worry about it. The tap isn't working properly. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I was late. There was someone on the high. Someone had descended onto the rails. And so my metro was delayed.
Don't worry
about it. It's a drunk English person. Oh, Dave!
Do you want to just like swill out the mugs with some water and put the water into the plant pots there?
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then I'll get the kettle on.
Okay.
And then we can sort of settle into this episode, which is, as I said, called Catching Up with Amber and Paul. The idea of these episodes is that...
Which plant needs it the most?
This
one.
Peace lily, yes.
The peace lily.
It's quite a thirsty plant, that one. The idea being behind these episodes is that basically I just say to you both, so what have you been up to?
Okay.
And then hope that we get about an hour of podcast content out of it.
Mate, see if we can restrict it to an hour.
Let's see.
Yeah. It's more restricting to an hour.
Then we're going to go and have lunch, right? Yeah. And then after that, well, we'll see. Hopefully we'll have time to then do the classic lying game, which we'll explain in a bit. So,
if this is episode 9 of the Lying Game, I'm not sure that we need explaining it again, but we, of course we will.
There will be a fair number of new listeners who have actually never heard the Lying Game.
You're crushing it on YouTube. Hello, YouTube, by the way. I'm saying hello to more people than I am on my own channel now. Good work.
Yes, it's coming along quite well, yeah. You know, YouTube's a funny one. You kind of start, sometimes you wonder, oh, when's the algorithm going to be like, nah, I've finished with him now, I'll move on to someone else, because that's kind of how it feels a little bit on YouTube, that you're just at the mercy of the algorithm.
Yeah, but the algorithm is, all it is what people want to watch. So if people are watching your thing, and they're watching a lot of it, then they'll just get served more of it. It's basically it's basically a servant to the watchers, the algorithm.
Yeah,
it's nothing to do with like, oh, they decide to put... So it's just like, hey, if people want to watch this, they'll watch it. And if they watch it, then they go, oh, this is what he likes or she likes or they like. And they'll just add more of the stuff. So
you
clearly,
like this, here's some more.
And that's why you can't let your children play with your phone, because they mess up your algorithm.
Oh,
if I get any more chipmunk content...
Oh, my Netflix is ruined.
My Spotify is ruined. You know, you get Spotify.
Same.
Is it Spotify Unwrapped or whatever it is at the end of the year, where it's like, let's look at your highlights for the year. It's like the wheels on the bus. The wheels on the bus go round and round. Was your favourite jam this year? Like, no, it was not.
Absolutely.
So shall I start by asking you the key question, the question that's going to kick it all off, which is, so what have you been up to, guys? Who wants to have first crack at that question? What have you been up to?
Listen, Paul has been up to a lot.
Yeah.
He's been up to a lot. So I don't know if that means he should go first.
Yeah, go on then. So what have you been up to, Paul Taylor?
When was the last time that we were on?
Because
I don't know what... I feel like we haven't seen each
other. It was hot. It was a while ago.
No, I think it was like maybe springtime or just early spring when we did the Titanic toilets and TikTok talk.
Okay.
So I think it's at least 6 months, something like that. So we haven't seen you since you went off on tour.
No, I mean since April I've been on tour. Basically, yeah. I finished my shows in Paris in March on the 1st of April, it's just been touring in 18 different countries.
Touring in 18 different countries.
Yeah, we've got two more to go.
Just in case no one knows, because there are new people.
Yeah.
Paul, stand-up comedian extraordinaire, in English, in French, both. This is your third spectacular one-man show.
Yeah.
Right? This one is called Bisou Bye.
Yeah.
Right? You're kind of Paul Taylor, the phenomenon, the English-speaking comedian who made it big.
Do you not pass him on the metro all the time?
I do. I see all his
posters on the metro at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true.
Yes. So there you go. So Paul's a stand-up comedian. He goes around normally France and French-speaking countries doing a one-man show where you tell jokes and stories and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So 18 different countries.
Yeah.
Which countries?
All right. So France, obviously.
Yeah.
Thailand.
Naturally, yeah, of course.
I mean, we did Bangkok. So that's all we did. It's not like we toured in Thailand, but we did Thailand, Singapore, Australia, US, Mauritius, England, Scotland, Ireland.
Fuck Wales.
Fuck Wales. the week after that, we did Amsterdam, so the Netherlands, Hungary.
For some reason, he can't remember what happened after the Netherlands.
Yeah. Hungary.
Yeah, you were hungry, I suppose.
Yeah, I was hungry. And then I ate some Germany. That doesn't work.
No.
German sausages. Germany, Austria. Then we came back and we did Portugal, Spain. That's 15. Canada.
Yeah. 16.
I know I'm forgetting some.
A couple of other countries.
In Europe.
In Europe. Switzerland,
correct. Luxembourg,
right.
And I've got Belgium and Monaco to go.
Wow.
Highs and lows.
The highest of the high.
Switzerland, I would have thought.
Switzerland was pretty good, to be honest. It was actually pretty good. The lowest of the low was
the Netherlands. the low country.
Literally, the Netherlands was the lowest country that we performed in.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Lowest of the low was Portugal.
Okay, come on, tell us the story.
Portugal.
What was wrong? Portugal's lovely.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, the country's great. I mean, we don't see. I say I've toured 18 countries. I could have just been in Paris. I don't know where I am. We land on the day of the show, basically. We do the show, and then we fly back the next day.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything unless we're in. So in Portugal, we did Faro in the south, in the Algarve, mate.
Right.
It's just there's no one came to the show, and it's just old people, and none of them spoke English. So it was great. And then the next day we went to Portugal,
other parts,
Lisbon.
Of Portugal. Yeah.
So we drove up to Lisbon, and then the next day we flew home. So we saw the motorway between Faro and Lisbon. But that was the worst show, was Faro.
To go into a bit more detail about this terrible show in Faro.
Well, you know what? I might save it for the line game.
Okay.
Which is in the next episode.
Okay.
But
basically, there weren't very many people in the audience.
Right, okay.
About 37 is the actual number.
In a venue that should have held
300.
300. So yeah. It was 10% of your audience.
That's echoey.
Yeah. It was three. And in the front row were three children, 7, 9, and 12. Mm. And their parents decided to sit at the back of the room with their friends and just leave the three kids up front. So the atmosphere was glacial.
That's horrendous for a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Horror.
That sounds absolutely awful.
No one spoke English.
But it's kind of, I mean, anything that's terrible always makes a good story.
It does.
Always good copy.
Okay, so we can look forward to a bit of that maybe in the Lion Game.
Yeah.
Okay.
How was Hungary?
Hungary, it was all right.
Because that's not known for its...
There is quite a big French community there. The problem with it was that... the venue wasn't a stand-up venue. It was like a conference center of the Académie Française. No, it wasn't l'Académie Française. I don't know. It was a conference center that was just like...
Alliance Française.
Not great for gigs.
No, you know, typically where they would put flags up and a and a podium.
It's a podium, and not
yeah,
a stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Those gigs are hard.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but it was good. Like overall, it was good. The journey there was interesting because we took a train from Vienna to Budapest,
mm-hmm.
and the train was something out of like.
Sort of James Bond or something.
Like Agatha Christie. It was the oldest train I've ever seen.
Wow.
And the weird thing was, is it had like its own buffet cart. Nice. You know, like a
restaurant
old
car.
Yeah. So first of all, we get on the train and we sit where, like in a seat of four, because there's three of us traveling at all times. It's me, my manager, Adam, and my light and sound guy, Manu.
Manu,
who's very French. And so we normally try and find, you know, the four seats together.
Yes.
So we did that. And a couple of it stopped at every station between Vienna and Budapest, basically. And at some point, a bunch of people came on and like, oh, we've got these seats reserved. And we're like, oh, we didn't have, ours were open tickets, but apparently there were reserved seating. So like, oh, I guess we'll have to stand up. So we stood up. And then at some point, Manu was like, I'm going to go see if I can get like a drink at the bar. And he comes back about half an hour later because it took that long to get, because everyone got on the train and most of the one that we had was weirdly a more modern carriage, like the ones that we're used to here where there's seats on both sides with an alleyway in the middle.
Yeah.
The rest of the carriages were alleyway on the side with the booths.
Right.
You know, like these old, imagine like old Soviet type booths.
Totally, yeah.
So the booths were rammed and everyone would just stood up in the corridor. So you had to like literally squeeze past every individual person.
Yeah.
So he came back at some point with the drink. No, he didn't even come back. This was the thing. He's like, oh, I'm at the bar. It's a nightmare to get here. But there's space at the bar because there's a bunch of tables free at the bar. So I was like, oh, Adam couldn't be bothered. So he stayed there. So then I made my way through to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 20 minutes.
Mm.
And then at some stage, we're like, Adam, you have to come here. Like, instead of standing up for the next hour and a half of the train, come here. And on top of it, there was a Hindu. A bachelorette party when
girlie's about to get married.
Girlie's about to get married,
having a party with her friends.
Has 15 other girlfriends with her, and they were like German, and they were in the train, just having a riot in the car, like opening their own champagne, doing stuff.
Yeah.
So Manu was loving it, and I said to Adam, because Adam's gay, I'm like, listen, there's a bunch of girls, you won't enjoy it, but at least you'll have a seat. So what ended up happening was. Why did we decide to do that? I can't remember. He was like, I can't be bothered going through the thing. We're like, well, here's what we do. The next stop, you jump out of the carriage, leg it down the platform, three carriages, and then jump back on.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. So we stopped at this, like, wherever it was in the middle of nowhere station. And then he ran like James Bond.
But Tom Cruise.
Well, Manu's out of the carriage being like, I'm over here.
Yeah.
And just legged it down and he just got in. And we had a great rest of our trip. But yeah, the train was really interesting.
Sounds great, yeah.
So yeah, Budapest was fun.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, some shows go really well and some of them don't. And what's interesting is the ones... I tell the Russian joke.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Go on.
Oh, God. You now tell the Russian joke on stage in your big show.
I explain. Here's what happened. Everyone,
what is the Russian joke?
The new people of Luke's English podcast.
Oh God, I thought I'd escaped from this, but apparently not.
No, you will never escape it. It's going to be. I mean, it's already been a decade.
Yeah, I think it has. Right,
it has. When did we do that show? We did
that's
show.
That's 2015.
That's about eight years. It's getting close.
Okay, do you know what we should do for the 10 years? We should do a Sorry I'm English 10-year reunion show and do the Russian joke. Anyway.
I can't do the Russian. So this is a misunderstanding that people who understand, who know about this joke, they think that when I do stand-up, I do the Russian joke, as if I can do it every time.
No.
It's only something that happened once, like completely on the spur of the moment.
Okay. Well, I'll tell the story, because this is how I tell the story on stage.
Sure, okay.
Basically, myself and Luke, we used to have a show called Sorry We're English, where Luke would do 30 minutes, and then I would do 30 minutes. And this is when I was building up to doing my own one-hour show.
Yes.
And so while Luke is on stage, I would be at the back doing the lights and the sound. And then we would switch over because we couldn't afford anyone extra to do the lights and sound because we are in this tiny cave in Paris, basically. So Luke's on stage, one of these shows.
Yes.
Starts the show. And about 10 minutes late, there's a couple that arrive and they sit right in the front row because there's only the seats available are in the front.
And they're late as well. And it's normal at the beginning of the show that you kind of do crowd work, you know? So that means just asking the audience questions and engaging them in conversation. To get to know them and to get the right rapport going on. And it's normal to sort of ask people where they're from and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So these two people arrive late.
These two, and Luke is half angry. Luke never gets angry, but he when he's on stage, sometimes he has a more angry persona, like I do, like often is the case. So he angrily goes, "Oh, well, welcome to the show, 10 minutes late. I guess you guys must be French." Because
French people are often late.
You're not speaking into the microphone.
I know, that's why I'm shouting.
Because French people are often late. They have a phrase for it in France. It's called les 15 minutes de politesse, the 15 minutes of politeness.
Right.
Which is called being an asshole in English-speaking countries.
Oh, my God.
Right, Amber, where do you want to put this?
Hold on.
You can put it here.
We didn't think about the logistics of the tea, did we? Why don't you
perfect.
There is a good shelf that's your height just behind you, though.
No, this is good. It's got equipment on it.
Okay, so, Sante, cheers. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for the mug. Thanks for the tea.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
By the way, listeners and viewers, these Amber and Paula on the podcast mugs are available in the Luke's podcast merch store.
Yeah.
In case you want to get one of your own, that one person is now considering buying it.
I tell you what, if you buy the mug and you come to one of my shows with a black permanent marker, I will sign it for you.
Tea has never tasted so good.
I know, right?
would it work? A black permanent marker?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it does. I've done that myself.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So
Luke says, "Are you French?" And the couple replied, "No, we are Russian." To which Luke responded immediately, because he's so witty and so fast and so hilarious. He replied, "Yeah. But you weren't rushing to get here tonight, though, were you?" At which point, none of the audience laughed.
Yeah.
Except for me at the back of the room.
Yeah,
I laughed because it's a great play on words. It's a great joke.
It is a good joke. I laughed when you told me. Great
exactly.
joke.
Exactly. Now,
this is the thing, though. When we told Amber about the joke 8 years ago, she had a good laugh. We had a good laugh about it. We moved on.
We did.
What actually?
Little did we know.
We'd started a sort of a I don't know what you call it.
A
really.
Never-ending spiral.
Yeah.
Of pain.
Exactly.
Because then, of course, lots of listeners heard the little story and heard Amber and us laughing about it, and they're like, "Wait, what?" Because not only did the people in the audience not. A, didn't get the joke, and B, didn't even realise a joke had happened. They didn't get it, but also the audience of this podcast, when we told the story, also didn't get it.
But what was the funniest thing for me was that you're on stage and you realise that no one understood, but you know it's a good joke because I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. So you're like, yeah, I made Paul laugh. Comedians, when we make each other laugh, we know it's a good joke.
Yeah.
And so you decided to try and explain the joke to the audience by saying it again, but slower.
But I did that. I tried to do that with a sort of ironic tone, but that was also lost apparently too.
It was still total silence. And I'm laughing even louder now because it's funny watching you do a joke that no one understood, trying to explain the joke that no one's understanding the explanation of and just having total silence and weird looks on stage.
They're just looking at me, not even like, what's he talking about? Or this doesn't make sense, this bit. They're just looking at me like expectantly waiting for the show to start. And I'm like 5 minutes in, you know, and they're like, you know, they're up for it. They just don't, it's like the jokes I'm making are invisible.
And those of you listening right now, if you haven't if you still don't get the joke that you weren't Russian to get here, I think if you type in Luke's English podcast Russian joke into YouTube. I'm just going to type it in now as a non-Russian joke. It is the first result in there.
The Russian joke explained.
11 minutes and 35 seconds.
So just 11 minutes, yeah. Those are in the days when I used to repeat myself a bit more than I do now. I kind of got to grips with that slightly. But a little tangent off from your story, if that's all right, which is that, I did that on stage twice. They didn't get it. Nothing. Didn't realize. We told the story on the podcast. People didn't get the joke. Like, what's he saying about Russian people? Especially Russian listeners who are very sensitive. Who are like, what is he trying to say about us? And so I noticed all these comments and I was like, then next time, I had a few comments about the Russian joke. Let me just clarify that for you. I told the joke again and explained it again. Even more comments. I don't understand the Russian joke.
Maybe we should stop calling it the Russian joke. I just call it the rushing.
Rushing.
Joke. Oh, the rushing joke.
The rushing joke.
Rushing joke.
Or the late joke, because they hear Russian and they think, oh, they're joking about us.
What is this?
And you're not.
I'm not. There's no.
It's nothing to do with Russia. It just so happens that Russia rhymes with a verb, which means to go quickly.
Rushing, Russian. They sound very similar.
They're very
similar.
That's it.
There's no other meaning. And and every time I explained it, someone else would not get it. And then you decided that every time you were on the show, you would mention it so that someone else would ask what it was,
exactly.
So that, and I could explain it again. Then I made the YouTube video to say, right, this is it. I'll make this YouTube video. If anyone ever asks, I'll just post this and then they'll understand it. And then, of course, I get comments underneath the YouTube video saying I don't understand, including one comment that said, I think the problem here is that for Russian people, the words Russian and rushing sound very similar. And I was like, what? That's not the problem.
That is the joke.
That's literally the joke. It's not a problem. It's a joke, isn't it? And I even got an email from one listener who said, who was very upset with me because she was like, I understand with this Russian joke, are you making statements about the way that Russian people rush into other countries all the time? I was like, no, I'm not fucking talking about that. It's just that the words sound the same. Now give me a break. Don't blame me for the world.
So now that this is my final bilingual show.
So you say.
So I say. I might Sebastian Marx it and just do another one.
I think you should.
Why not? Anyway.
No, I'm not. So I talk about... So, yeah, I've done... This is my third bilingual show. It's the final one. And the reason it's the final one is that I want to do shows only in English. But I tell the audience that I don't want to do the English shows in France. Here's why. And I go into the whole Russian joke situation. Now, what's really interesting is that when I do the joke the first time, I tell the story basically exactly as I just told it. Luke's on stage. He says, but you weren't Russian to get here.
We're Russian. Well, you weren't Russian to come here, were you?
Yeah. So I would say there's nights where outside of France, the joke kills the first time. And as soon as everyone's laughing, I go, exactly, it's a great fucking joke that no one in France understands. When I do the show in France, I'd say half of the audience understand the joke. The other half don't. And they start explaining it to each other in the room. I'm like, stop explaining it to each other. I'm going to now. And so I found a way of explaining it to the French people in French using French words.
Great.
That make sense. And so the whole thing has become a bit in the show where I'm like, and at the very end of it, I'm like, and this is why I can't do English comedy in France, because of English comedy, specifically British comedy, I feel is very based on language, turns of words, play on words.
It can be.
And like references to English life or things like that, which is why a lot of English comedians don't make it out of England. You know, even to America, most English comedians don't make it to America.
Yeah, it can be.
There's like four English comedians on Netflix compared to the 96 that are Americans.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, I don't want to do them in France because I think French people don't speak English. They do, but that's in order to understand little things like that. So, yeah, the show's been going well.
How do you explain the Russian joke to French people? You've actually converted it into a French language joke.
So I will do it in I'll now convert that French language joke back to English.
And hopefully it'll still work. But
yeah,
well,
basically the verb to rush in French,
yes,
is précipiter, se précipiter. Mm-hmm. Right, that's the verb. And it's the same in a lot of Latin languages. And so I basically say to the French people in the audience, I'm like, imagine there's a country in the world called précipitaire, which is like Angleterre, like England, but we just go quicker. And then that's when they go, oh, and I go, now imagine the interaction where the couple say they're from précipitaire. And then Luke says, yeah, but you weren't précipitairing to get here tonight. And then they all start laughing. And I go, exactly. Right. That's when the whole audience, anyway. So yeah, it's.
Even though précipitaire in English means rain, but.
Precipitation. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
To precipitate.
Yeah, means to, what's that?
Doesn't it mean the same?
Precipitate.
To go quickly. To go quickly.
And
yeah.
Precipitation.
I don't know.
Don't precipitate your answer.
It's rain.
Is that rain?
Precipitation is rain. Yeah.
But I'd never heard of to precipitate.
I have.
Really?
But
I think so.
As we know, Amber's cleverer and more articulate.
No, but there's lots of French words, like, you know, fancy stuff.
Right. Because when you get into super formal fancy words.
There's loads of French words. Yeah. And the only reason perhaps we know it is because now we
voilà.
Speak French.
Voilà. Vous parlez la langue française. Yeah. Okay. Amber, are you enjoying Paul's description of his tour at this point?
I always.
Because you're just sitting there listening at this moment.
I know, but I'm travelling with him. Yeah. He's taking me on tour.
On a journey. Okay.
Although, I mean, not that we're not talking about his tour, I did go myself abroad.
Yes.
Just last weekend.
Oh, really?
Where did you go?
I went to London.
Ah.
Nice. London City.
So.
On your own?
Yes.
And
it was very exciting.
Can I ask previously to that, when had been the last time you were in London?
Years. Absolutely ages.
Really?
Did you experience culture shock going back to your own country?
It was weird because I was going to London to do this. I'm doing this art course at the Courtauld about French women artists in France in the 18th century. Fascinating. Right. I'll take you on a tour. You'll love it.
Yes.
Which we should totally do. We should definitely go on a tour somewhere else. It'd be fun. And I went to London and I had these dollars. And so I thought I'll change them into pounds rather than changing them into euros.
Oh.
And then I would, you know, charge every time. I got to London and I didn't feel French, but I didn't feel English either. There's no money. You can't pay.
No cash.
You can't pay with cash. No one takes it. Everywhere I went, they were like, oh, it's card only. I was like, are you joking? Mm. What the fuck is the problem? The money's completely different. No one takes money. Everyone pays with
cash,
their phone.
Cash, you mean?
Yeah. Everyone's paying with their phone.
Right.
They were all laughing that I had an Oyster card. They've all got it on their phones, that I had cash. I went to one place, I got some books, needless to say, got some books from Foyles, you know, in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, oh, can I pay in cash? And she said, oh, I can open a till for you. And so she took me to a separate cash till, which they opened for me. Said it twice. Yeah.
Which they opened.
I wasn't.
I tried. And so now I've got all this cash left. I had to spend some of it in Boots. Boots took it. And then I had my ticket printed to go home. They thought that was very funny. But when I got to Eurostar,
Ticket printed, you mean?
Yeah, I printed it just in case. You never know. And so everyone, all my English friends, are all laughing at me for that. And
oh, you're
then,
getting old, Amber.
I'm old. I'm foreign.
You're like an old granny
old.
Paying by
but then
cash.
But then when I got to, it's like now in France when old ladies pay with like vouchers and checks.
Yeah.
I am now that person paying
with
money.
Cash. Yeah.
But then when I got to Eurostar, there were a lot of people with printed tickets who were not old. They were just at a variety of ages, but I would probably bank they were all French, and I was just like, so I didn't feel like I'm French. I didn't feel that, but I did think
you're doing things in a French way,
just doing things not in an English way, and like listening to people talking. It was fascinating.
Yeah, go on. I love doing this when I go back. I was in the UK this weekend as well, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, I went to London.
What were you doing in London?
Just see my mates.
Yeah.
We rented a cottage in the countryside and just hung out there and just, you know, played pool. And
Or with the famille?
No,
with his mates.
My brother and two of our friends.
Oh, that's lovely.
Like a lads blokes weekend, you know. Whenever I'm in the UK, I love just listening to other people's conversations.
Yeah.
Just to hear the general tone and the kind of indirectness. I think I texted you maybe a year or so ago saying I'm in London, and this is what it sounds like on the train. Sorry, 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 sorry. Because it's literally, I was just overhearing someone getting on the train with a bag. Oh, sorry. And then they come on and the other person says sorry. And then they're sorry this, sorry that. Sorry, 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 sorry. Everything's sorry. Sorry means excuse me. Sorry means I need to get off the train. Sorry means get out of my way. Sorry means I don't understand what you just said. Sorry, it's everything. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was listening to these guys talking and I just thought, I don't know if I understand fully what's being said.
What?
I don't know. They were just speaking all this like slang. It was really fun. It was really interesting. People were very friendly. I went to Boots. I had all this money to spend. So I was at Eurostar and I was like, I'm going to spend it in Boots. And so the woman said, oh, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I'm just looking for this and that. And she said, tell me if you buy something because I've got vouchers. And she was quite friendly, but I thought, oh, this is nonsense. And then I was going to buy some cream. I was like, I might as well buy it here, buy some moisturizer here. And I said, oh, I'm going to buy this actually. Do you take cash? And she was like, I can take you to a cash till. So she took me to a cash till and she gave me a £10 voucher. I said, £10? I don't even have a Boots card. And she said, yes, there seems to be a lot more deals in England.
Oh, there's a lot of wheeler dealers stuff.
No, but just, you know, you buy something,
yeah,
you get
buy
vouchers.
Buy one, get one free. Like all this stuff that doesn't exist in France.
Super commercialized shopping
kind of
experience.
Selling and obviously still quite a lot of foreign people, which was nice because I was worried that everyone would have left.
Did you buy the 45 pence packs of paracetamol to bring back with you? Because here in France, the paracetamol is outrageously expensive.
But you get it on, yeah, but I get it on prescription.
Yeah, but I can't be asked going to the doctor to get a prescription. So I like in Boots, they're less than £1, the packs of paracetamol. Yeah, here amazing. It's about €5.
Is that right?
It's outrageous. Yeah, the like Dolipran or Advil or whatever brand you get. Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, one of the things in England that's better. There's not many things that are better. But
cheap paracetamol and £10 vouchers at Boots.
At Boots.
The
Boots.
Chemist. That's it.
That's it. Then we're done.
And the Beatles. That's it.
But it was nice. I mean, London. Yeah, it was nice.
Hold on. Speaking of the Beatles.
Yes.
What's your opinion on the new song that came out?
Oh, you want me to talk about that now?
Have you already talked about it on your podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, give me the overall.
I mean, you know,
they released a new song. Your opinion before I give mine.
Well, I can't really give an opinion just on the song, just on its own, because for me, the song only means anything in context with the story and the rest of it.
But okay, so let me ask you a different question. Were you happy or were you annoyed?
By what?
The new song.
By the fact that it exists.
Yeah.
No, happy with that. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the song is, it's all right. It's not like as good as some of their work in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, the production is, it's got that kind of shiny Paul McCartney 2020 kind of production to it. But I thought hearing John Lennon's voice is extraordinary. And that's really amazing, the way they've managed to separate it. There's a whole story which I maybe shouldn't go into now.
I don't know.
So basically the short story is they recorded a song, or John Lennon wrote a song in like 1970.
Yeah.
77.
Yeah. Okay. So, and he recorded it.
Good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. He recorded it. He recorded him singing it and on the piano. So the tape that Yoko Ono had was John Lennon's voice with a piano over the top.
And the TV and the cars in the street. All bleeding into the...
Okay, yeah. So it was like a recording from the 1970s. Not great.
Yeah.
So anyway, when they decided to try and make some old songs available again, when the three of them were left...
The Threetles.
Is that what they were called?
Well, that's kind of how people call them.
All right, nice. So they tried to work on this song, and George Harrison tried to... He played
acoustic guitar.
Yeah, so he recorded a guitar piece for this song. The problem was they never could separate his voice from the piano and it just sounded rough. So they never released that song.
In fact, it was George who, and I quote, "So this fucking shit, this isn't it?"
I didn't know that. I didn't go deep.
Let me guess. So then did they use AI?
Yeah, they basically used the...
Well, steady on, because... Go on.
Well, it's not AI in the sense of like they haven't made his voice out of a thing that didn't exist. They basically were just able to separate his voice from the rest of the track.
It's not generative AI. So it's not AI singing with the voice of John Lennon. Instead, they've used it to separate his voice from the rest of the recording.
So it's his real voice.
So that's great.
Yeah, and so they were able to re-record the song with just his voice away from the piano and redo the song. So it is actually a real song with the four of them actually playing.
Ringo's on the drums. George is on guitar and some vocals. Paul is on fucking everything. Mm. And John is, he's got his vocals in it. Mm. Paul re-recorded John's piano. And it's actually very good. But there's also, you know, you start to wonder what it's really about. And the more you kind of get into the story of it, you understand that it might even be John singing to Paul in the 70s when he was when they were estranged from each other. He was holed up in his apartment, sort of not really going out into the world, not really writing or publishing music. Well, he was writing. He was at home writing, but he was in a strange place. And I think that him and Paul definitely communicated to each other through songs in the 70s, and there's lots of very clear examples of it. And there's a lot of it that's a lot more obvious than, you know, than people give it credit for. He's quoting Paul's songs in his song lyrics in songs that are supposed to be about Yoko and stuff like this, and all sorts of odd things. And so there's that. And also the lyrics in the song Now and Then, there's a story there as well, which is that basically, okay, I'm going to try and give you the very quick version.
Yeah, this is deep. This is deep.
So, 1981, Paul McCartney was grieving the loss of John Lennon, right? He was on Montserrat, where George Martin, the Beatles producer, had a recording studio. He was there recording his new album, right? And he'd invited some friends to come and work with him, including Ringo. He also invited this guy called Carl Perkins, who wrote Blue Suede Shoes, one of the old American 50s rock and roll guys. He invited him because he was friends with him. Carl stayed on the island for a few days, had a wonderful time. Apparently wasn't in the best place in his life at that time, but he had a lovely time, and he was so moved by the hospitality and generosity of Paul and Linda that he wrote a song. And the song was like very smooth country ballad, and the last line of the song was if we never see each other again, dear friend, think about me every now and then. Right, he plays the song to Paul and Linda on the day he's leaving for the airport. Paul is in tears. He's in floods of tears at the end of the song, and he has to leave the room, and because he's crying so much. And Carl's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry," to Linda. And Linda's like, "No, it's fine. How, you know, he really needed that. It's the first time he's really been able to cry." Then she says, "But how did you know?" And he goes, "What do you mean? How did I know what?" She says, "Well, the lyrics of the song, those are only Paul and I. We're the only people in the world who know about that." And he said, "You're freaking me out. What is it?" And she said, "The line you said at the end of the song, those are the last words that John ever said to Paul the last time they met."
Wow.
At the Dakota building. Apparently he said that to him and sort of patted him on the back the last time they saw each other. And it turned up in this song. And Paul is actually kind of very superstitious about it,
yeah,
and believes that it's John speaking to him through Carl's song, because Carl was this hero for both of them. Mm. That there was like, this is John's way of reaching out to Paul through Carl. And it's very weird. And there's a documentary where Carl Perkins tells this story, and he's just finished telling the story, and his wife buzzes into the studio on the intercom. Mm-hmm. There's a telephone call for you, Carl. Is Paul McCartney on the line? So weirdly, when Carl tells the story on the documentary, at the same moment, Paul just randomly chooses to call him. So that's weird as well, yeah, isn't it? But that's the significance of the phrase "now and then." And so obviously this means a lot to Paul. So that's also part of why he was so keen to redo this track. And there's a guitar solo on it that Paul does, which is a tribute to George. Mm-hmm. And it's very sweet, really.
Well, sometimes things like that, like in life, you have these weird coincidences. Like this, the train back yesterday from Montpellier that I was on tour. Like it was just like something aligned weirdly.
In the universe.
Yeah. So we get on the train. Me and Adam, we were in car 3.
Yes.
And we joined from car 2 because we couldn't be bothered walking one car more and then walking back, because our seats were closer to car. So basically we walked onto the carriage with our backs, with everyone's backs to us.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. Like you sometimes walk on a train, and when you walk through your carriage to get to your seat, everyone's looking at you. This was the opposite, everyone's back. So me and Adam, we were sat the aisle, the way the aisle seating was 2 aisle 1.
Right.
So I was on the 1 and he was on the 2. And
the aisle separating you.
Exactly. So we sit there, and then Manu, the light and sound guy, he walks on from the other side. So he's facing us. Mm. And to the woman in front of me, he's like, no, no, no.
He said that to the woman in front.
To the woman. And then he bends, because she didn't know what was going on. And she looked up and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? So they know each other. She, it turns out, is a really famous actress in France.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Audrey Lamy. And she's been in a bunch of films, TV shows. And he used to do her show. He used to do the lights and sound for her one-woman show 10 years ago. So the fact that they met there was crazy. The fact that she was there, the person sitting in front of her, opposite her, was just a normal civilian. And he's looking at the situation going, sorry, is this the celebrity carriage? What the? Because he knew who I was.
Right.
He obviously knew who she was because she's like massive. And he's like, what is going on in this train? So that was crazy. And then we stopped in Valence before we got to Paris. And as we're all chatting, the four of us together, on walks Olivier Véran, the old health minister during COVID. I was talking about Zaddy's, and Sarah really likes, she has the hots for Olivier Véran. He has a photo of him getting the COVID injection with his shirt off, and she's like, oh God, yeah, give me a bit of that. So he walks on, and we're like, is that Olivier Véran? It's like, yeah. So then he walks, and he just sits behind us. It's like, what is this carriage? He's there with his security guard and like two of his like communications people. One of the girls who's a communication, who runs his communications, she's like, I'm a huge fan. Like, maybe we can get
she
you.
Comes up to
she
you.
She comes up to me and goes, I'm a huge fan. Maybe we can do like a crossover with you and Olivier Véran, who's now like the government spokesperson.
Wow.
And it's just like this weird, like cosmic thing of like, how is this all happened in one train? Like, the train is about 10 carriages long.
Yeah.
We could have all been sat in different carriages, but no, we're all sat in the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy opposite this actress is going crazy. He's like, I don't understand what is going on here. So he's like, can we take a selfie? And we take like a ripoff of the selfie that they took at the Oscars. You know where it's like Bradley Cooper and Jennifer, and it's like everyone there. We took the same selfie in the train. And it's like, this is weird how the world works sometimes, where you just...
Do you not think it's a sign, Paul? Like, France loves you. And you're like turning your back. You're just like, you're one of them. You're like, there amongst the stars. French people are like, I love you. And you're like, goodbye. You don't understand puns.
I'm not. Yeah.
You didn't understand the Russian joke. So fuck you.
highest form of laughter. Puns. Because I'm going to where people will appreciate my dad
because
jokes.
Because your jokes are full of, your stand-up is full of puns. Not. It's not really. It so just to be clear that Paul is, you know, this his last show is called Bisou Bye. It's called Bisou Bye because apparently this is the last show he's going to do in France.
No, it's not. It's the last bilingual show.
All right, okay.
I will do shows only in French. In France. I'll do my only English show in France as well, but I'm just done with the bilingual thing.
Okay.
Because, like, obviously that's the joke, the Russian thing, that's more for the English side. So if I do an English only show here, it just won't include puns. That's fine.
Right,
more just the bilingual thing of like, a lot of my jokes rest upon you understanding both languages a little bit, because there is a play on words somewhere in there and it's a misunderstanding, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's difficult. It's frustrating going to a place where people have paid to come and see you and they don't understand the jokes. And I'm frustrated for them. I'm frustrated for me because I'm like, I can hear that they don't understand. Mm. And I'm like, if I were doing this all in French, it would be much better. Or, you know, if we're in, like when we were touring Canada, if I'm in Edmonton in Canada, everyone understands English because the French people that move out there obviously speak English.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I not just doing the show all in English here? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it feels like I've reached the limit of what I can do bilingually. Like I've reached the mass.
Yes.
What is it? What's the word? When you reach the most, like terminal velocity.
Capacity?
Terminal velocity.
But... In terms of getting an audience, like I can still, you know, gain an audience, but I'm just like, all right, like, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the next step is exploiting the fact that I speak English and I have never done shows in an English speaking country.
Monolingual shows now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Amber,
yes.
So I'm going to switch to you.
Oh,
what's the time?
10 to 1.
10 to 1.
Hour.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up soon, this catching up session, because I think we're nearly caught up.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to ask you, how's it going? What have you been up to? Because obviously you went to London.
Well, I told you I went to London.
Yeah.
It's about the highlight.
That's it?
We've been painting our flat.
Right. What colour?
Well, the last room is for my daughter, who's 3. Guess what colour?
Pink.
Yes, pink. Fully pink. Pink ceiling, pink
walls. Is it like pastel pink or is it like Barbie pink?
No, it's neither. Well, the ceiling is like a deep pink, cinder rose. So it's very deep pink. And in fact, the painter was like, I like that pink best. And then the pink on the walls is a lighter pink, a sort of off-white pink, Middleton pink. Very nice.
And why pink?
Because she's three.
And she chose pink, did she?
Yes, she absolutely did. Yeah. She just lives for pink. She only wants pink every single day.
Interesting, isn't it? Our girls always end up going, well, not always, often end up going for pink. Isn't it? I mean, like, you know, some people believe that we program that into them. But
well,
I don't
you
know.
Say that, but she is wearing quite a lot of her brother's clothes because they're born on the same day. And they're the same age, so they can wear the same clothes. And
well, they're not the same age. She was born on the same day. She was born on the same day, but like 5 years,
six years
afterwards.
Yeah, but so when he, she's three, and so when he was three, it was the same season, they're about the same size. But when he was three, he was also into pink. She has got quite a number of little pink items. So maybe it's just three and not girls or boys.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just three. But yeah. I like pink and I think the room looks really nice.
I bet it does.
But we've painted everything.
Pink shoes.
Pink shoes, exactly.
I don't have anything pink.
I've got pink shoes and pink glasses.
Yeah. Pink is good.
Yeah, pink is lovely. I've got a pink.
Bonne mine, they say.
Pink t-shirt, pink shirt.
I mean, I've got pink skin, so it kind of matches.
Me too, yeah.
We're all quite pink.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Have your kids said anything funny recently? Because so every now and then you text me.
Well, Margot, we're potty training. We're basically there, like it's okay, but we do have accidents occasionally.
With the potty training.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So there's occasional accidents. Do you know what I mean? She's still little. And so she said to me the other day, Amber. Because, of course,
she calls you Amber.
They all call me Amber. But she's just like, farts in knickers, poos in loos, pee-pees in potties. It's like, words to live by.
Where has she learned that?
Wait a minute.
She doesn't just come up with that.
Repeat that, please.
Farts in knickers.
Farts in knickers.
Poos in loos.
Poos in loos. Remember this, everyone.
Pee-pees in potties.
Pee-pees in potties.
Is that the title of this episode?
Maybe a subtitle. Farts in, keep the farts in the knickers.
You can fart, that's okay. If you're wearing knickers, because I just say don't put in your knickers, because she's, you know, that's
she's
the
three.
Big one. Yeah. And sometimes I'll say, do you need to do a poo? And she'll be, it's just a fart. And I'm like, that's okay. And so that's okay. But like sometimes it's a warning. So is it a warning? But so farts in knickers.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Poos in loos, because it would be nice. A poo in a loo, because then you don't need to clean the potty.
The best place for a poo, isn't it, really?
In the loo. Yeah. And then pee-pees in potties. But you see, she didn't see the poetry of it, because, of course, poos and loos rhymes.
Yeah.
And pee-pees in potties is alliteration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I immediately texted it to my friend to just be like, this is...
How proud you were.
You're so proud.
I mean, it's mine. Yeah. Her thing now is when we're in the bath, she goes, papa, papa. And she farts and the bubbles come up and she finds it hilarious. And so do I, to be fair.
Especially when she's like, papa.
Yeah, she stops. She'll be playing. She'll be in the middle of like playing with her thing and she goes, papa. I'm like, what? Regarde. And then she goes, blub, 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 blub. And she loses it.
She speaks French to you.
Yeah, she doesn't speak English.
Really? Oh, no.
So my daughter, who's five, just a couple of days ago, spilled some yogurt on the table and she went, fuck. Not fuck. Oh, fuck, she said.
Fuck?
And I was like, And I was instantly like, what? What did you just say? She said, fuck. Fuck in hell.
Fuck in hell.
And
wow.
I think she thinks it's a fox.
Oh.
She thinks that that's a fox
you
in hell.
You need to correct that.
Yeah, so it's not fuck. It's not fuck, darling. It's fuck.
Okay, maybe she thinks it's a fox as in a seal. You know, a seal.
Yeah,
a sea lion.
A
oh, right.
In
yeah,
French,
fuck. Seal is a fox. I've noticed that, yeah. Going through when she was like one and a half. Oh, look, a book of animals. Horse, you know, cheval, une vache. A fock? Fock? Really? Yeah. So anyway, so she said, fock. And I was like, what? Fock? Fock in hell.
Fock so in hell. Just keep it.
She thinks either there's a fox that's in hell.
Seal in hell.
Yeah. So anyway, that was interesting. Yeah. Interesting moment.
They are funny.
Yeah, they are funny little kids.
Do they actually? Back to this. So swearing, we were in the car and we were driving. I know on holiday, and so my daughter, she doesn't like the car seat. She's like, get me out this bloody car. And I thought, I just really enjoyed it so much the way she said bloody car. But she's kind of really English. Like, she won't wear a coat. She says bloody correctly. And the other day she made herself sick. I was doing this course online and she rolled up and she was like, I'm not feeling well. And she had Marmite all over her face.
Oh.
And she'd taken the Marmite. She likes to take the Marmite and just eat it. And I was like, have you been eating? We have to hide the Marmite because she'll eat it with a spoon. I said, oh, no wonder you're sick. You've made yourself sick from eating Marmite. And that's why we have to hide it from you.
Marmite, listeners, is the most British thing in the world. And it's sort of... You don't like it, do
I
you, Paul?
I hate it.
You hate Marmite?
Yeah.
It's basically 100% brewer's yeast. It's just
delicious.
Vitamin B12
in
a jar.
I mean, it used to be. It's not that anymore.
It is, isn't
it's
it?
It's just...
It is.
It's chemically made.
It's just vitamin
B. It's delicious.
It's just vitamin B12 in a jar. It's like this brown, sticky
it's
stuff, and
disgusting.
You're only supposed to have a little bit on like some cheese on toast with a little bit of Marmite, not eating it with a spoon. Wow,
no.
So she's so British. Yeah.
Yeah, she's feeling, yeah, pretty English there.
Yeah, very good. Well, do you feel like we've caught up now?
More or less.
Yeah. I think so. Okay. Well, I think that then what we're the plan is.
What
now,
about you? What have you been up to?
God, not much really. Just
doing the podcast,
doing this,
crushing it on YouTube.
Trying. Doing the podcast, updating all the website pages on my website, and
dealing with a new baby.
Dealing with
How
a new
is
baby.
This new baby.
He's great. Yeah, he's a total cutie pie. He's a really. He's good at the moment. I was just saying to Paul earlier, like he's good. He's great now. You know, in a few months, he's going to start moving a lot more.
Mm.
And when he starts actually walking, that might be a totally different story. But at the moment, since he's basically stays in one place and he smiles a lot.
Much easier.
And that's great. So he's, you know, we are able to sleep more or less. Sometimes, you know, wake up a couple of times in the night, but other times just sleep straight through.
So lucky.
Yeah, he's a good lad and he smiles and he charms all the ladies.
Oh.
Yeah. And the guys as well. He's just a charmer.
That sounds
he's a little charmer.
Do you know, you're not sleeping?
No, I mean, so like Louise, when she couldn't move, was the worst that she ever was.
Mm.
Now that she can move, she's great. Because she just, we couldn't leave her. We couldn't leave her. As soon as we sat her down or put her in a, what do you call it, a bouncer.
Yeah.
And we tried to go and cook something, forget it. She would just lose her shit straight into like, ah! So we had to be with her all the time,
right.
And it was horrific. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, he's pretty good that way. You can kind of leave him for a while. And his sister adores him. And she's like, she loves him so much. She goes up to him. She's like, you know, she can't contain how cute he is.
She wants to just squeeze him.
She wants to just squeeze his cheeks like this. So, yeah, so far, so good. We'll see what happens when he moves into her bedroom and starts trying to play with her toys. We'll see how she feels then.
Well, look, you need to just... It's a learning curve. Like, my daughter's always trying to take, you know, my son's stuff. And, like, he gets really angry. And I'm like, you need to move away from the object. The quickest way to get something off a toddler is to show no interest. You know, you've got to move.
Out of the theatre of conflict.
Absolutely. So it's really training for him.
Yeah.
And will be for your daughter too.
Yeah. Okay, all right, something to look forward to. Guys, do you want some lunch? Do you want me to buy you some lunch?
Yes.
Yes? Okay,
absolutely.
Great. And then hopefully, if we have time, we'll stick around to play.
To tell some lies.
The lying game.
Or not.
Or not. Truth or
not.
Lies, we'll see. So that's probably going to be in another episode. You're just going to have to wait until next time, folks, for that one. But thanks so much for being back here, and I'll speak to you both soon.
Okay, right? Then.
Sounds good. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you, listeners.
Good. Lepsters.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Yes, that was Amber and Paul back on Luke's English Podcast after quite a long time. And it was good to have them back. How are you, listeners? Did you manage to follow everything that you heard in that conversation? I wouldn't be surprised if there were various things that you missed, but hopefully the general vibe, right, is good and friendly and fun and funny and all those things. And for that reason, you're still here, right? Are you still here? You are, I hope so. And that you haven't turned into some sort of skeleton. Of course you haven't turned into a skeleton. You're still listening. You're still alive and well. I said it was fun and funny as well, right? I've noticed that my French learners often get confused between the word fun and the word funny and sort of mix them up a bit. But those two words are distinct, different words with different meanings. One of those words means that it makes you laugh. Ha 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 ha. Yes, that's right. Funny. That's funny. So if something's funny, it makes you laugh. And if something is fun, it's just enjoyable. Obviously, those two things can happen at the same time. You might find something enjoyable because it makes you laugh, in which case it can be both funny and fun. But those two words do not mean the same thing. Here's an example. What about if someone tells you a really good joke, right? Which word would you... That was so, what, funny, of course. Yeah, if you go and see a really good comedy show, like, for example, Paul Taylor at the Zenith with support from yours truly... If you say yours truly, that means you're referring to yourself. So when I said with support from yours truly, that means with support from me. For example, if you go and see a great comedy show, you could say, oh, that was so funny, wasn't it? Whereas if you just have a really good time, like, I don't know, you go bowling and it's actually good, because it's not always good, is it, bowling? Sometimes you just it's just really embarrassing. You don't know how to do it. You hurt your fingers because the ball, your bowling ball you used, the holes were too small. The ball was too heavy. You slipped over when you were bowling the ball down the alley. You slipped over and fell over. Or you tried to bowl the ball and it didn't come loose out of your hand at the right moment. And instead you threw it up into the air and it flew up and then bounced down. And slammed onto the bowling alley and made a really loud noise, and then it instantly fell into the little channel on the side and rolled pathetically to the back. And you know, that's bowling. So anyway, maybe bowling's a bad example. I don't know. What's a really, really fun sport, ladies and gentlemen? I don't. What is it? What is the most fun you can have in a sport? I don't know. But let's say you love tennis and you've just had a really good game of tennis, and oh, you just got a really good rally going, and it went on for ages. It was really dramatic, and afterwards, like, oh, I really enjoyed that. That was really good fun. So that's fun, right? Fun meaning enjoyable. Okay. Anyway. So that was Amber and Paul. Ladies and gents, listeners, let me know how that was for you, okay? I'm always interested in your comments. Do you have any responses to any of the things you heard there? And yeah, that's right. You heard at the end that the plan after we did that recording was to go and get some lunch, and that's exactly what we did. And then we came back to the pod room in the podcastle and recorded another episode. And yeah, as another sort of... slightly nostalgic one, because we recorded an episode of The Lion Game. I think it's something like almost the 10th time that we've played The Lion Game on this podcast, but we haven't done The Lion Game on the show for a few years now. So I'm sure that there are some people listening who don't know what The Lion Game is. Now, you'll find out all about it in the next episode. When that one arrives, you can listen and find out for yourself. But if you want to look into my episode archive and find older episodes of The Lion Game, then be my guest. And by the way, if you want to know a convenient way to search for episodes, then there is a way to do it. Sometimes people write to me and they say, Luke, do you have like categories in your episode archive, or is there any way of like navigating your episode archive? You know, for example, if I want Amber and Paul episodes, you know, do you have an Amber and Paul category or something? I don't have that, because that it's actually really difficult to categorize all the episodes. But what you can do is just use a simple Command F search or Control F search, which is something that any internet browser allows you to do. A lot of people will know about this, but then a lot of other people don't know about this. And it's a really convenient way to search for keywords on any web page. And it works on PDFs and stuff as well. So if you're using an Apple Mac computer, just hold down Command and press F. When you're on a website, for example, my episode archive, which would be teacherluke.co.uk/episodes, go there on your computer. If you're using a Mac... And this works on Safari, it works on Google Chrome, I imagine it works on Firefox as well and other browsers. So you've gone to my episode archive, there it is, all of the episodes ever in one big list on one page. Hold down the Command key and press F, and a little sort of box will open up, and there you can write the word, I don't know, Amber. Just write the word Amber, and then every instance of the word amber on that page will be highlighted. You can actually skip between them using up and down arrows next to the little search bar where you wrote the word amber. There's a little up arrow and a down arrow, and you can skip between each instance of the word amber, essentially revealing to you every single time Amber's name is written on that page, and it really helps you to find episodes with Amber. And if you want, you can write Amber and Paul. But probably, I would say, just search for Amber, because if you get Amber, you'll probably get Amber and Paul as well. There are some episodes where it's just Amber. But there you go. Command F, and then write the name you're looking for, the word you're looking for. That works for other things too. For example, if it's short story. If you want the word story, Command F, and then type story and see what you find. It's an interesting way of quickly and conveniently navigating the episode archive on my website. If you're not using a Mac, if you're using a Windows computer, you just do the same thing, but you do Control F. Okay, Control F, and then you can search for any word on any page that way as well. So there you go, little pro tip. It's not a pro tip, because you don't need to be a professional to know that, but little helpful tip there if you're trying to search the episode archive. I think what I'll do actually is I'll put links to previous episodes of The Lying Game on the page for this episode. So if you want to prepare yourself in advance and become familiar with The Lying Game in all its glory, then you can do that. I'll give you a basic idea of what the game is. And this is a game, which a kind of a conversation game, which I used to use right at the start of my teaching career when I was teaching in Japan. Did I ever tell you that I used to live in Japan? Yeah, I did used to, actually. Don't know if I've ever said that. The Japanese are actually fairly notorious for being a bit quiet in English lessons. Not all Japanese people. I met some Japanese people who were very talkative indeed, very outgoing and stuff. But to a large extent, Japanese students in class can be a little bit sort of quiet. And so you need to find ways, imaginative ways, to encourage them to speak and ways to encourage them to tell stories about their lives, to describe things that they've done. And so I came up with this idea of the lying game. It's a very simple concept. In fact, there's a TV show, a really good TV show, which you can see in the UK, which is called Would I Lie to You? And it uses exactly the same format. But I promise you, I did not take my idea of the lying game from that TV show, because I'd been using the lying game in English lessons for years before I ever saw the show. So anyway, the concept is basically, tell us a story, tell us something that happened to you, and you can choose to tell the truth or tell a lie. And we have to then try to work out if you're telling the truth or if you're telling a lie. And we do that by asking lots of questions, and eventually the story comes out. Okay. Now, I found that this worked well with Japanese students because it gave them the option to, if they wanted to be private and not really say anything about their lives, they could just make something up, you know? Kind of gives you the freedom. You can either tell a true story about your personal life, or you can just make something up if you don't really want to share, any details about yourself. And it would, you know, it would work. It's not just for the Japanese. Anyone can want to be private, you know, of course. I'm sure this would have worked anywhere. In fact, I've been doing, since I left, you know, after I left Japan, I did use this game, and I've been using it ever since with multinational groups. I use it in France, as much as I can, because I love doing this game in English lessons. So tell us a thing that happened to you. You can tell the truth or tell a lie, and we have to ask lots and lots of questions in order to basically help us decide, and a story is revealed in the process. That's the concept, okay? And yeah, we've done lots of lying games before on the podcast with Amber and Paul. And as I said, I'll share some links to those old episodes. So if you want to listen to some lying game episodes to get a sense of what it's all about, then you could do that, and then when the next episode arrives, you'll be fully prepared and you'll know exactly what to expect. Okay, all right, that's enough for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Amber and Paul, and I hope that you will enjoy the next episode, the lying game episode, which will come soon, probably in about a week, but we'll see. All right then. Okay, good, lovely. Have a nice day, afternoon, evening, morning, night. Enjoy yourself. Be nice to your fellow humans, if that's possible. And I will speak to you in the next episode. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.